Review, the official podcast of thenationalsreview.com. My name is Colm, but I'm not here alone. No, and I'm not here with a designated hitter. I'm here with the left fielder. No, is he a third baseman or is he a second baseman? No, he's just Charlie Flegel.
I was a third baseman.
Were you?
And Little League and left field.
Interesting. Left field, though, is so different. Like in Little League, left field is like a good outfield position, and you put the worst people on the right, and it's like swapped.
In Little League, I think the only good fielder goes to center field in the outfield.
That's
think,
true. And the I only other the worst... one goes to short, and that's it.
Yeah, you basically put your best fielders at short and probably maybe first so they can catch throws if they get hit to the infield.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, how are you?
I am doing excellent, actually. I've been watching a ton of baseball, for sure. And anything
for
else? Max Scherzer. And I have really been interested in, and we'll get into it, in the Rendon vote.
Yes, the final vote.
And I'm drinking a Blue Moon.
How are you enjoying your Blue Moon?
You know what? Blue Moon, when it first was around, was like, oh, wow, Blue Moon, it's so different, and everyone was all about it. And now it's sort of just become like an average beer to me. But you got to love the 5.4% alcohol per volume.
That's always – I'm always a fan of a little bit extra, just in case you need it.
But how are you?
Well, I'm good. I think I might have mentioned this last time, but I started a new job – last Monday, and so...
Oh, that's right. So how is it?
It's good. Things have been a little crazy, but I have still been watching our wonderful Nats.
Nats fans at work? Have you found out anything yet?
You know, I haven't really gotten into that level of conversation with people yet, but don't worry. I will.
Yeah.
And I have a Stone IPA.
Ooh, I'm a huge fan of Stone IPA, actually.
It is hoppier. It's been a long time since I've had it.
Yeah.
It's have you ever seen the show Brew Dogs?
No.
It's a great show. It's on the Esquire network.
As good as Chug?
Different. Okay. It's definitely similarly enjoyable. It's two guys that had a successful brewery in Scotland, and they did like sort of weird beers. I think they made like the highest alcohol beer ever. And they're still pretty young, and they basically go around the U.S. and visit cities and, like, brew a beer based on what city they're in.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
They were in San Diego, and they talked about Stone. Stone's from San Diego. And basically, Stone is probably the most famous one from there, but, like, sort of the craft beer revolution and the, the hoppiness of IPAs or the recovery of IPAs from, you know, historical files to actually being drank again started in San Diego, and Stone was one of the big ones. So
interesting.
So first of all, I like it. It's very hoppy.
What's the alcohol content?
It is 6.9%.
Oh,
yeah.
That means you don't have to drink as many as I have to.
And it's good. It's really hoppy. But
yeah.
I challenge anybody who gives me crap about drinking an IPA when it's really hot out.
Exactly.
Because IPAs, the modern American IPA, basically came from San Diego. So shut it.
There you go. You know what's weird? I used to be a really big fan of like really hoppy beers, but as I've been getting older, I'm sort of like steering myself away from them. It's weird. It's like almost like it's too bitter for me now.
You know, I really like hoppy beers, but I don't like really hoppy beers.
Right.
This is almost too much for me.
Right. Well, that's great. Stone IPA. You have a better. I think you win the beer contest tonight. You have a better one.
I'm excited about it.
I think you have the one.
And I just started.
And we're in the middle of a. I mean, I guess we could talk about it, or we'll talk about it later. The big rivalry, Orioles Nats.
Big O's Nats rivalry. Yeah, I think you and I kind of feel similarly about it.
But I guess
we both grew up in the area.
Yes.
I did not grow up an O's fan.
I did.
Nothing against the team. I actually loved Cal when I was growing up.
Who didn't?
I just didn't grow up rooting, actively rooting for the Orioles. You did.
I did.
Neither of us hate them right now. That, like, a team created in D.C., you know, 8 years ago or whatever, did not make us suddenly start hating the Orioles.
Right, no. I would love for them to win the AL East every year, if possible.
And you know what? If you listen to the radio, there's people calling in just going, like, how could somebody be wearing an O's jersey and a Nats hat to a game? That's terrible. And I'm like, well, fashionably, that's terrible. But
right.
but pretty much, funny. You know, you're allowed to root for both teams. You know, my dad's from New York, and he grew up rooting for the Yankees and against the Giants and the Dodgers. And so you know what he thinks about the Mets?
Doesn't care.
He likes the Mets.
Right.
They're a team that came when he was already in his 20s. And now that he's moved down here, the Nats are his NL team. But if they're not going to make it, he'd like to see the Mets make it. Right. And you talk to some people in New York, a lot of Yankee fans will go, I don't care about the Mets, or, you know, I wish them all the best. Mets fans get a little more uptight, but that's more about the amount of attention the Yankees get. And then there'll be some people there that are like, you can't root for the Mets if you like the Yankees. And I kind of think that's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. On a side note, the game going on right now, I don't know if you have it on, but Desmond got hit in the hand.
Yeah, and speaking of Yankees, I remember Jeter getting hit in the hand a couple years ago, and it did not go well.
Well, Danny Espinosa is now playing short.
Anytime somebody gets hit in the hand, I get scared.
Especially your shortstop.
Yeah, I mean, Espinosa is good enough defensively that if Desmond's not out if he were to have to go out on the 15-day DL, it wouldn't be
right. The
worst thing in the world. But
Bryce would like that.
You want everybody in.
All right, so let's start there then. Let's go in the Beltway series and switch it up with the order. This thing, it started off, which is this the usual where they played first in Washington and then went straight to Baltimore? I've never heard of that.
Yeah, I thought, they do it different every year. A couple years ago, it was like three in one place, and then the next week it was three in the other, and there was a series in between. I think it's fun to play them. I definitely want to beat them because it's local bragging rights.
Right.
But again, it's not like I want to beat them because I hate them. You know who I hate?
Who?
The Braves.
Who doesn't? Who listens to this show?
That's what I'm saying. Like, people are going to tell me that, you know, I'm an idiot. I'm an awful Nats fan to not just, you know, root against the Orioles with all my heart, but I don't care.
They're right.
The only
time we would hate them is if we were in the World Series against them. That's the only time.
Right. We're playing them right now. I want to beat them. I don't have any part of me that would go, oh, it's all right that the O's won because, you know, it's good for them. No, I want to beat them. I will be unhappy if we lose.
Right.
But again, I just don't care that it's the Orioles other than for not wanting to hear it from Orioles fans that live nearby, I guess.
Now, the weirdest thing to me is that they have the game right now on our CBS affiliate.
It's like the one game this year that's on CBS.
Yeah, the one game. And the other weird thing is that it's on, and yet we have two Masson stations.
So what do you think about the last year they had the split?
I hated that.
I hated it too because you know what? There's nothing that I like. Like I don't need homer announcers.
Yep.
But there's nothing I like less than listening to another team's homer announcers.
Right.
And so when something, it's not even when something good, when something bad happens to your team, you don't want to sit there and hear them get excited about
exactly.
it, because it just drives you crazy. So I'm
also
so
chemistry. I mean, you want there's a reason why two people who have worked 80 plus games already together know the team, form a chemistry. Like you and me have done the show now 34 times. So we now have a chemistry with that. If you throw another person, it didn't make sense. So it
doesn't work.
So now I'm assuming the Baltimore local affiliate is getting their local guys, or they're not listening to FP and Bob, are they?
Yeah, I would assume, I don't get CBS Baltimore, but I'm guessing, it's going to be whoever it is, Tim Hunter or something like that. I can't remember the Baltimore guys. Well, Palmer's one of them.
Oh, gosh.
I like Palmer.
Really?
You know, I think I like him because he has no qualms about being completely negative. He will just watch an Orioles pitcher and be like, this guy is awful right now. I like when guys are okay with doing that.
All right. But now here's my other question for you.
Jim Hunter?
Jim Hunter.
You know who does suck? I will tell you that there's one guy I don't like on the Orioles staff. That's Mike Bordick. Good shortstop.
Great shortstop.
Bad announcer.
Now, here's my question to you. Now, is this rivalry something that Major League Baseball is, like, trying to enforce? Is it the areas trying to make real? Like,
I don't think that there are people that truly are into it.
Really?
I don't understand why, but I think it's absolutely there are people that are really into it and really feel about it. You and I don't.
But do you think it has the same feeling as a Yankees Mets or a Oakland San Francisco or like?
Well, I think it depends who you ask. Like people in Baltimore, you know, the comments I've seen are it's like, well, you know, sort of disparaging Washington fanhood in general and lumping the Nats into that.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's also more of a reason. You know, the Orioles fans lost fans.
Right.
And so just like when you and I were in college and there were all these Ravens fans who claimed, you know, I didn't even watch football before the Ravens came along.
Of course.
You know, people, Orioles fans are probably like disparaging of people that became Nats fans. Disparaging of somebody like me who didn't root for the Orioles. And they'll go, oh, sure you didn't. But it's just the way it is, right? And so there were Redskins fans that would disparage the Ravens fans. Like, oh, how long have you been a Ravens fan for? Now, 15 years later after they started, or 20,
right.
Nobody says that anymore.
Right, right.
But the Nats fans are just
sort of the same, too, with the whole Redskins-Ravens thing. That people get so excited for that, but it doesn't make any sense. Once again, we're in different divisions. And
yeah. You know what I hate about the Ravens? How much better they are.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the only thing I hate. I hate that Ozzie Newsome is their GM and not the Redskins' GM. That's the only thing I hate about them. I don't want to hear Baltimore fans crowing about how great they are.
I know.
But other than that, like, I don't root against the Ravens. They're not the Cowboys or the Eagles or the Giants to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we've thoroughly beaten that.
I think we have. Yeah. So let's go to a happier subject. Let's talk about is it next week? Yeah. Is it the 21st or the – yeah. So 2 weeks, almost 2 weeks. We have All-Star Game coming up.
That's right.
Jordan Zimmermann elected by – how the pitchers are done by what? The managers?
Players.
Oh, the player?
Yeah. I don't even remember. The manager
right.
picked the pitchers.
So we got Jordan Zimmermann, which I was shocked that he was really the only one on a first-place team, which...
Yeah, I mean, it was a little surprising. The guy that really probably deserved it is Soriano.
I agree.
You know, got, 23 saves,
yep.
Something like that, and an ERA of exactly one right now.
Incredible.
You make the case that Storen also deserved it.
Incredible.
How
about on offensively? Anyone that you
Well,
think?
I mean, the other pitcher that people aren't talking about, and I guess, I mean, he's 8-2 now, and he's got an ERA under 3, is Doug Fister.
Who is incredible!
Right. He was out. He missed 20 innings that he should have pitched, 30 innings. So, I mean, I guess that stops him. Yeah, I guess he has 5 starts short of of everybody else, five or six.
I could make a case for Adam LaRoche.
Yeah, I think LaRoche also got robbed. I mean,
but look at his position he plays.
Right, that's the problem.
Right. So
I feel a little bad for him because he's never been a first half player, and he's turned into that a little bit more.
That's true. And
he's put together good seasons, a lot of good seasons, and it sucks for him that there's a lot of other good first basemen, I guess.
Right.
Is the way.
It's kind of hard when you have Votto and.
Right. Well, I mean, if you look at who's in the NL, right, Paul Goldschmidt is
clearly
better.
Paul Goldschmidt is amazing, yeah.
Freeman's probably better than him. Matt Adams is having a better year. So I'm not saying – I mean, I guess to say LaRoche got robbed, his numbers are really good.
Yeah.
He's probably got the best on base out of all of them except for maybe Goldschmidt.
Right.
But, Matt, what are you going to do?
Right. But all of a sudden we have one other possibility. It's Mr. Third Base, Anthony Rendon.
So the thing about Rendon is I thought he should have gone in.
Yeah, automatic. I mean, the guy is on pace for 100 RBIs. How is he not there?
As a third baseman in the NL, he's probably having the second best season among all NL third basemen behind Todd Frazier, who's having a ridiculous
season. Yeah.
But his numbers aren't actually – I mean, his on-base is a little bit lower. But if you look at the rest of the guys, like the guys with the high on-base are like Carpenter and McGee.
Right.
McGee, and those guys have no power, right? And then if you look at the guys with power, he's got basically better slugging than everybody that's a third baseman.
By a lot.
Right, except for Frazier.
Right.
And then he's got better on base than everybody except for Carpenter and McGehee, who aren't hitting with any power. So he's basically the second best overall third baseman in the league.
Wow.
Right now in the NL. This season, I mean, the numbers that he put together. So he doesn't get to go. It's fine. I mean.
But he's in this campaign, which I believe they started 3 years ago. Or no, it started with Eric Byrne. Whenever he was in the league, because I remember him being.
Mr. Byrne.
Yeah, so they do this thing where now it's with social media, is that you tweet during. It was so ridiculous that you couldn't just do it when you want to do it. It had to be between a certain amount of time, and you just had to include the hashtag vote Rendon or target sale. Now, my biggest problem with this, and tell me if you agree, is how do you put an offensive player against a pitcher who we don't vote for pitchers?
Yeah, I think it's a little weird that they put pitchers on there. And this isn't the first year that they've done it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I agree. I think it's kind
of... It's the most ridiculous thing. How do you even compare that? That's not even...
Yeah, how can you compare Chris Sale to, I don't know, Miguel Cabrera? I don't know who is even on the list, but... Yeah, you're right. That's weird.
It's weird. So I think, in my opinion, I think a hitter is going to run away with it if... The rest of the world is thinking like me. I really don't understand why you would want to have a pitcher in there that'll be in there maybe one inning. Instead, you could have Rendon, who's maybe could get three. He'll be in the end of the game. And...
Yeah, but Chris Sale won.
Oh, it's over?
It's over. Chris Sale won.
Oh, my God. I'm talking like it's going to be calculated later. We lost?
Well, Chris Sale's in the AL, but yeah, we lost.
Right. That's the other thing I don't understand. So it was an AL guy versus an NL guy?
No. They had one for each. So Chris Sale won in the AL, and Anthony Rizzo won for the NL.
You're kidding me. The guy in the Cubs beat out Rendon.
Yeah, and the interesting thing was, you know, they try to do this block voting where they're like, all right, everybody who's voting for the guy on the Cardinals should also vote for the guy on the Yankees, and then they'll get each other's fans to vote. Chris Sale won. And the White Sox and the Nats had a block vote. So, like, everybody who voted for Sale was supposed to vote for Rendon.
Oh.
And they didn't.
Thanks, Chicago.
Thanks a lot, Obama.
It's always his fault.
Well, he is a White Sox.
So, you're kidding me. So, when was this announced? Was this recent, like, announced
like
a couple hours
ago? Voting ended at 4 o'clock.
Oh, and they said it immediately? Oh, my God. Now I'm really upset.
Don't get too upset.
I'm really upset.
Because we still have... A winner from our group of Nats fans. It's not a player, it's a fan.
Who?
Because, Colm.
Yeah.
I tweeted out the other day.
Oh, that's right. Here we go.
I tweeted a vote. Oh, Rendon. Somebody, sorry. We just saw a ridiculous hit by Rendon. A number up the third base line that hit Machado wouldn't pick up, and it hit the base, so he got a single. Anyway, if it's your first time listening to the podcast, know that Colm and I are usually watching the game as a podcast. And we realize we shouldn't talk about it because it's not live. You're
going to
listen to the podcast the next day. But we love the Nats, and it just happens. Yeah. So we got like 40 retweets of something I said. If you guys retweet, I am giving away a Rendon'd T-shirt.
Wow.
So anytime a ball is hit, that ball was not Rendon'd, by the way. The baseline might have been Rendon there, but not the ball, not the pitcher. When he hits one out of the park, though, both the ball and the pitcher can be considered Rendon'd.
Amazing.
So I'm giving away. I got a list of names here on an Excel spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. How do we pick them, Colm? What do we do? There's only going to be one shirt given away.
I could tell you a number if you give me what is it, 1 through 40? And I just tell you a number, and you tell me what number they are or on that list, because I don't see the list. Then it's completely random.
Can you, like, use a random number generator and then take a picture of it? Do you have a random number generator?
Yeah, I'm just random. I'm sure I can Google that random. All right, what are the okay, yeah, look at this, random.org. Oh, no. All right, enter. Okay, what's the lowest number is one. And what's the highest?
38.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right, the number that has come from the random number generator is...
Let's hear it.
27.
27. I have to go down a page, and it is at EMC Bull. Let's see who that is.
Let's see who that is.
We will not notify him now. He will have to listen. She will have to. Emily Bull is the winner.
Right. Congratulations, Emily.
Emily Bull of Arlington, Virginia, whose bio simply says everything Nationals. I'm liking this person.
Look at that. See, the random generator knows what's up.
So we will be maybe I'll notify Emily Bull tomorrow after the podcast goes up and everybody gets a chance to listen and see if they're a winner. But congratulations, Emily. If you're listening to this, email me at nationalsreview@gmail.com with, size, if you want the women's cut or the men's cut, if you want what color you want, whether you want the white text or the black, and a hashtag Rendon t-shirt will be on its way to you. Congratulations. And thank you for playing.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think we'll probably do more and more of these as time goes on. It seems to be popular.
I like giving stuff away. We gave away a couple books. Was it over the winter?
Yep.
And gave away a t-shirt today. So
look at that.
Very exciting.
All right, so let's move forward and talk about recent successes.
Unfortunately, we just watched them lose.
Yes.
However, the Nets have been doing really well recently.
Yeah, I want to talk about – I was at the beach and watching the – I watched every game of the Chicago Cubs series.
Yeah.
Talk about offensive explosion there.
Yeah, that was fun, huh?
It was super fun, and then all the pitchers we faced got traded away from that team.
I don't know if you remember, but I don't know when you went out to the beach because they played the Cubs twice, and at Chicago they played Samardzija.
Yep.
And he was pitching well, and then there was a rain delay, and he came back in, and they beat him up.
Exactly. That was crazy when he came back in. It was just – he got destroyed. Yeah.
And then Jason Hamill pitched a good game, and then they beat up Carlos Villanueva.
No, Travis Wood. Oh, no, Travis Wood beat us, I think, right?
They took – in the last series, they took 2 out of 3.
Right.
And Arrieta started, and I think it was 1-1 late, and then they won in very late. The Nats won off of I don't know who it was off of. It wasn't off of Arrieta.
Right.
How about the season he's been having, by the way?
Incredible. I would have never thought it either.
I think it was Pedro Strop they got it off.
Yes, Pedro
anyway,
Strop, that's right.
They scored a good amount of runs against Chicago, at least in that one game. They hit well against Colorado, really well against Colorado. They actually had three games in a row where they scored seven runs exactly. I'm looking at the schedule right now. Streaky, still a little streaky on the offense, but I think it's coming around.
Oh, it's definitely coming around. They are. I mean, granted, I didn't think we really played great the first half of the season, but luckily neither did anyone else in our division.
Right.
So we played good enough, but I think the second half of the season we're going to really have an offensive explosion. Oh, you know what else I remember from when I was watching the Cup series? They were reporting on Bryce Harper on his rehab stint, and there was one game he hit three home runs in one game. So what is the deal? I want to talk about him.
Since he came
exactly.
Back.
Is it he's too good for the minor leagues, but he's not there for the majors? Is that what's?
I actually think I don't know how he did today. I don't think he had a good day today, but no. I didn't watch the at bats, so the results are less important. The last few games watching him, he does look like he's hitting the ball hard when he hits.
Right, I agree with that.
And so some of that is luck. Some of that is really a feel for the major league pitching. I'm not really worried about him feeling like lost at the plate. I'm sure he's upset about the way he's playing, but he doesn't look that bad. You know, he struck out twice today. He struck out looking on the one at bat I saw was, a really good pitch, just hitting the just hitting the bottom of the strike zone. He was pissed about it. It's not something that you would see that if he was hitting great too.
Right.
So, I don't know. I'm not that worried about the way he's playing.
What about now? Something else that happened since our last show is that he made some comments about when he came back, and I think Matt Williams handled it incredible and really made me respect Matt Williams. But he basically came out and said, I mean, in short, is Span should sit and I should be playing center, and Zimmerman plays left.
So if the Nats win the World Series this year, 10 years from now, will they rewrite what happened this season as like everybody got along great?
Exactly. Yeah, right.
Matt Williams, at one point, Matt Williams benched Harper because he didn't run out of play, and he said to everybody, boy, if Harper doesn't run something out, there must be something really wrong with him. I just want him to rest. And then Harper never said, is it going to be totally rewritten, or is everybody going to remember all these things no matter what the results are? I don't know. I don't know what the story of the season will be if they actually win it all. But in the end, I don't think it's that big of a deal because they scored like 50 runs in the five games after he said that. So,
right.
I'm guessing whatever was said, it was stupid. I think it was dumb that he said that. Like,
it was dumb.
What's the purpose of saying that? There's no.
He's 21. That's the purpose.
Right. There's nothing good that can come from it. Yeah. But I also don't think it, tore the clubhouse apart. Now, maybe it did. Maybe people hate him. Maybe this, maybe that. I don't know. But at this point, the team seems to be playing well.
Now, are you okay with Bryce's position in the lineup?
Well, he's not hitting, so I don't mind a guy who's not hitting lower in the lineup.
I want Matt Williams seriously to just put him in that third spot and let's see for a month and see what happens. I think that would really help him.
Yeah, I mean, he's the kind of guy that some guys you go, well, that's a lot of pressure to be in the third spot, and I wonder if that would actually sort of help him.
Right.
Maybe he's the kind of guy that needs that pressure. So, yeah, I could see that.
Because I'm not a huge fan of Jason Werth as my third hitter. I really am not. And I think he's the type of guy that it doesn't matter where he is in the lineup.
I like Werth. I think Werth is kind of like, and again, we've said this before, doesn't really matter where guys hit that much, but Werth to me is like an ideal one or two hitter.
Yeah, two is my favorite for him.
Yeah, because he doesn't have a ton of power anymore, although this week he's been absolutely
I think
amazing.
He hit one tonight, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah.
He did. But in general, he doesn't tend to be a power hitter, not as much, but he still gets on base as much as anybody in the league. So it's like he's a top of the lineup kind of guy. His home run today only put him at 10, which is like fine. He's on pace for about 20.
Yeah, that's about right, too.
That's good. That's, you know. But if he ends up with 18, you look at that and you go, 18's not a lot from a right fielder, you know. And if he ends up with 22 visually or 23, you look at that and you go, that's not bad. Mm-hmm. You know, it's only one or two on the margin from 20, but 18 just seems way different than 21 or 22, you know.
I agree.
So he's not a power hitter anymore. 20 mm-hmm. home runs is not a power hitter.
But his...
So, yeah, I don't know about middle of the lineup for him. Now, again, how much does it matter? And then where do you... So, like, let's say you put him second. I'm fine with Span leading off right now. I know a lot of people are against it, but, I mean, we should be diving into, you know, we wanted to talk about who's doing well. We talked about Worth. Span's been great.
He has. He really has.
Basically, so I have this up on the website. Since May 12th, which is, you know, two full months, 50 games...
Mm-hmm. Not so a good sample size.
Not including tonight, 286 batting average, 335 on base, 432 slugging. That on base is probably not what you would love
like
to
lead-off.
See from a leadoff guy.
Right.
But that's as good as Span is. So the decision is, you know, do you want to move? Either way, he's doing good.
I think the only reason his on base is low is because he doesn't walk as much as he should. I think that's –
yeah.
That's really.
So, I mean, I'd love to. I like Worth as a leadoff guy because of the amount of pitches he sees, and I think that's good for the rest of the team on the first at bat. But other than that, you know, yeah, I don't really think of Worth as a middle of the order kind of bat.
Yeah.
So yeah, for me, the middle of the lineup is some combination of Harper and Zimmerman and LaRoche
and Rendon,
and yeah, throw Rendon in there too because. Look, Rendon has clearly showed more power than everybody thought he was going to have.
A guy, I am amazed how good that kid is. Like,
I think everybody is. I mean, all the scouts said he was going to come up and hit immediately, but you know he's 24 and he's on pace for over 20 home runs. Like he's not.
He's and 100 so RBIs.
Young. He's so young still to be doing that.
For what he's doing, yeah.
You know, that's the difference between his pace and Worth's pace. Is Worth is sort of on the tail end of losing his power, starting to decline, and you see that a little bit in the power. He still gets on base like a monster, but you see that a little bit in the power. Whereas Rendon, you're like, he's at 13 in his second season halfway through. Like, yeah, if he hits 20 this year, that's good, but what does it mean for the next 3 or 4 years?
Right.
That's what's exciting about him.
Exactly.
And then, you know, those aren't the only guys that are hitting on the team right now.
It's true.
The Roche is hitting. Desmond's had a really good couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I want to pull it up.
He's probably our biggest power guy.
Well, he has the most home runs, right?
Yeah. And on pace for 100 RBIs. I love guys that are on pace for 100 RBIs.
You love the RBIs.
I do, because that means you are scoring runs and probably winning games.
So he still has a terrible on-base percentage, but over the last month or so, he's hitting like, well, if you go back to the beginning of June, basically, he's hitting 250, so it looks much better than the 240. And he's slugging 448. But if you go back to like the middle of June or even the end of June, you just go back like, the last 2 weeks of what he's done,
right.
He's hitting like 280. So he's been hot. He's not been like crazy hot, but you know, two home runs, three doubles, 17 hits in 15 games, batting 280. So he's been one of their, you know, more hot hitters.
What about a catcher that recently came back?
Who would you be talking about?
Mr. Power, as I like to call him.
Yeah. So
good
Wilson
Lord.
Ramos. Is maybe making the case for the guy that's the most hot hitter on the team right now.
He's incredible.
Because, so he came back, and then he disappeared,
yeah.
And then he came, you know, he went on the DL, and then since coming back from the DL, I don't know what he did today. Did he get a hit today?
I didn't see that.
We're going to have to look that up.
Yeah.
Because up until today, at least, since coming back from the DL, a hit in every game.
Has he really? So he's on a hitting streak?
And he had one today, too.
So yeah, he did. Holy cow.
Not counting today.
1-for-4.
Not counting today. Since coming back from the DL, 10 games.
Mm-hmm.
378 on batting average, 425 on base, 568 slugging.
Are you joking?
Yeah, he's been doing what obviously nobody thinks he's going to do that all year. But as a guy that doesn't walk a lot, you expect him to be streaky, and this is what his good streaks are supposed to look like.
Wow.
And so it seems to me like he's totally back. He makes this lineup so much better.
So much better.
And it's not because the other guys are bad. The other guys are like normal backup catchers.
Right.
So the difference between what he does and what a normal backup catcher does is much bigger than the difference at almost any other position. Hmm. And so it's just – it's great to see him hitting as well as he is.
Yeah. I mean, it makes me understand why they put up with his injuries so much, because look what that man does when he's in your lineup.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
He is – a healthy Ramos is you know, sort of like a trump card as to how much you have the – you just have something that other teams don't have. You know, there aren't that many really good hitting catchers in the league.
Right.
Most teams are happy if a catcher doesn't get on base and can hit 15 or 20 home runs, or doesn't hit any home runs but can get on base. But
right.
To be able to do both is just pretty unique.
It's incredible. How has Kevin Franson done recently? Because he's been getting a lot of play time lately. I've noticed he's just been in like almost every other game now.
Yeah, well, I was surprised he started
today
over Espinoza, which I was kind of surprised about. I would think Espinoza started yesterday, but I was still, you know, I was kind of surprised. Mm-hmm. He still sucks. His numbers suck in terms of pretty much everything. He has no power.
Right.
His on base, you know, some of his horrible numbers from the beginning of the year have evened out a bit.
Right.
His on base is up to like 300 or right 300, but yeah, he doesn't have power. He doesn't get on base much. The thing that he does is he can play some second base, right? But I don't know. As long as Desmond is healthy, I don't think he's somebody you need to keep on your roster anymore. Because Espinoza is your utility man,
yeah, right.
To me, Franzen is like he's taking up the space of somebody else that could be a good bench bat.
And so a young guy? Are you saying like a young guy that's going to develop?
Yeah, like I wonder if they bring up like a guy like Steven Souza, who's just demolishing, absolutely demolishing AAA.
He really is.
And like, you know, that's just one sort of possibility, but I kind of wonder if Franzen's spot, it's a waste. I don't know. That's my thought. By the way, I agree.
Well, hopefully Ian Desmond's hand is fine, so we don't have to worry about that. Now, the last thing
Steven
Souza,
by the way, is batting .366 in Syracuse.
Good
and
Lord.
He has 13 home runs. He's slugging .599. His OPS is 1.045.
And before we get out of here, I want to talk. We're talking about who's hot and stuff, but let's talk about we had gone on the pitching side.
Yeah, up until tonight, Gio was really hot, and he didn't have a terrible night. He gave up three earned runs, and they were early, and he pitched great. You know, he ended up going through the seventh, so it wasn't his best start, but he looked incredible. I think he had 22 scoreless innings before tonight, so he was pitching really well, and then Strasburg had a really bad June.
It's really bad.
Like a 5.5 ERA or something like that.
Good Lord.
And his first two starts in July have just been awesome.
Right.
He pitched that game where they ended up losing, but I guess it was against the O's on Monday.
Oh, the extra inning game.
Yeah, where he gave up a 2-run home run. And he'll do that once in a while because his fastball – look, I did a couple things on his fastball, and you should look on the website if you're interested in more of like the details of his actual pitches. But what it looks like is happening is his off-speed stuff is next to untouchable. If if you guess he's throwing a changeup and you guess right, and you can really – and it's not a perfect changeup, you can probably take it really far because he throws like a 90-mile-an-hour changeup. That's right. How fast his fastball is.
Right.
But he throws such a good changeup that even if you're guessing changeup, when it's coming at you, his arm speed makes you think it's a fastball.
Right, right.
So there's been like one home run off his changeup this year because it can be a groove pitch. But other than that, his people are batting like, you know, practically nothing against his changeup. And his curve's really good too. And he stopped throwing the slider pretty much. He basically throws the four-seam fastball. The two-seamer or sinker or whatever was getting really beat up this year.
Yeah, I know.
And so he's turned into sort of a three-pitch pitcher.
Which I think it works for his style.
Well, he's done well with it. And the fact is, if you think about what a batter thinks about when they see Strasburg, they go, okay, fastball's coming at me at 95, 96. But if I guess it's a fastball and I see it three or four times, I have a chance of hitting that.
Right.
But if I'm thinking about the fastball and he throws an 80-mile-an-hour curve or a 88 or 90 mile an hour changeup, and I don't see that clearly, I'm not touching those pitches. I can't touch them.
Mm-hmm.
So what ends up happening is if he can throw the off speed stuff for strikes or throw the off speed stuff and fool people into thinking that they're fastballs, he's lights out. The thing is, every time he throws a fastball, I think what hitters are doing is just going, I'm going to assume everything's a fastball because I can't touch the off speed stuff.
Right, anymore. Right.
And so his fastball is getting hit a little bit, and he's going to end up giving up some home runs. The thing that keeps him in these games is like the Nats game or the Orioles game that the Nats played at Nats Park is he didn't do anything else other than one good hit.
Right.
And so if you look at the results on his pitches, yeah, you'll find a curveball that's been hit for a home run or a changeup once in a while, but – for the most part, when things get hit, people are hitting his fastball.
Right.
And so it'll be interesting to see if that is – I mean, my guess is somebody that doesn't really know the way every nuance of pitching works is that batters are just going up there and going, the only thing I can hit is a fastball, so that's what I'm going to try and hit.
Right, right. I mean, that's a good philosophy. I guess that's what I would use too. It makes sense.
Right. So how do you combat that as Strasburg? Well, there's two ways to do it.
Okay.
One is you try and mix pitches up a little bit more and keep them guessing and maybe make them doubt that they should always be swinging at fastballs.
Mm-hmm.
And two is to locate better.
True, which when I you, think he throw, needs to do.
Right, when you throw the fastball, you got it. You know, like Maddox threw a not-so-fast fastball, and I don't think it even had a ton of movement. It just went exactly where he wanted it to go. Same with like Mussina. Once, you know, Mussina when he was on the Orioles threw really with some real velocity, but when he was on the Yankees, he didn't, and he was still great. And it's because those guys could locate. Now, they had, you know, Hall of Fame level ability to locate pitches. And if Strasburg is going to be a true ace, all-star Cy Young guy, he's probably got to be able to locate better.
Yes.
He's still young. You hope it comes. You look at somebody like Kershaw and you go, well, Kershaw's like the same age and he can do it. Yeah, Kershaw's also already one of the greatest pitchers of all time.
Agreed.
And so it's just like comparing Harper to Trout, who, by the way, today became the fastest.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Angels history to get to 500 hits.
Which is crazy. And I was so shocked who had the record before him, actually.
Garrett Anderson.
Yeah, that's a name from the past I totally forgot about. He was a great hitter.
Do you remember when Garrett Anderson was like the official stamp of approval of the most underrated player in baseball?
Yeah, I remember.
There's always somebody that like everybody acknowledges is the most underrated
player. You know who he reminds me of? Fred McGriff. Garrett Anderson.
McGriff the crime dog?
Yeah, because he's another one.
Very underrated.
Yeah.
I wonder, I can't think of who might be considered the most underrated player in baseball.
Currently.
You know who was the most underrated player in baseball and then people realized how good he was? I feel like Chase Utley.
That's a good one.
When he first came up and like Howard was hitting 50 home runs a year and Rollins was, you know, MVP guy, Utley was like the most underrated player in baseball. I wonder who that is right now.
I just got a pop-up on my phone. I think you probably did too. Nationals, Ian Desmond, the x-rays are negative.
Yes, I did see that.
Thank God. That's probably the biggest news of the night.
Right.
Right.
Maybe he'll get the day off tomorrow in Philadelphia.
Great, so we can watch Kevin Franzen.
Well, maybe Espinoza will play shortstop.
I'm into that.
And Rendon can play second, and Zimmerman can play third.
So anyone else or anything else you need to talk about?
How good is Rendon in the field, by the way? I know we've talked a lot about Rendon, but
I don't know how you can move that guy off third base. I really don't.
I mean, he's not going to play anywhere but third next year. He's not.
There's no way.
You know, we've talked about this, but the contract situation with LaRoche is they basically, if they want to give him a qualifying offer, it's basically the same amount of money as if they exercise the option. And so the only reason they would exercise the option is if they really, really don't want him to leave. Otherwise, they give him a qualifying offer. Because if they give him a qualifying offer and he takes it, they don't get anything for it. But if they give him a qualifying offer and he leaves, which is probably what they hope, they get the draft pick, and Zimmerman's playing first, right?
Right.
And there's nobody out there that can play first base or the outfield that's a free agent.
That's a free agent, right.
So I feel like LaRoche is going to get a 2 or 3 year deal from somebody.
Yeah.
And it would be a mistake to give him three, but whatever. And so your third baseman next year is going to be Rendon. I'm pretty confident of it.
Yeah. I don't know how you can't. The kid, I mean, we're basically looking at a superstar on our team now.
You know, he's definitely going to be a 300 hitter.
Yes, he definitely has
a few years. The fact that he's going to be able to hit 25 home runs.
25 plus every year.
That's bonus because people didn't really suspect that.
No, we were told. I remember back in the day it was like 15 was going to be his like
ceiling.
Right,
it was like this guy is a beautiful line drive gap to gap hitter.
Yep. I
appreciate it. Not everybody has to hit home runs. But like I'm kind of like I want home runs. Right. And it looks like we're getting it. So.
So there you
I'm
go.
Excited.
Too bad we can't get jerseys, but that's another story.
That's another story.
But yeah. Okay. So should I do the whole little wrap
up?
Yeah.
Oh, one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
Next week or 2 weeks from now, we'll try and do another show. Mm-hmm. The week after that, Colm, I've got news.
What?
I'm going to LA for a day or two for business.
Yeah.
And I'm desperately hoping their Dodgers are playing at home against the Braves.
Wow. So, have you ever been to Dodger Stadium?
Never been to Dodger Stadium.
Wow.
I've actually never been to L.A.
Oh,
I've
wow.
I've only been to the airport there. I once flew to Vegas through L.A., which was awesome. But I'm hoping I can go because I like to, you know, I'm not going to go there wearing a Nats hat or something.
No.
I'll go there and I'll root for the Dodgers because they'll be playing the Braves.
Exactly.
And so hopefully I'll get to, you know, do some intrepid reporting from Dodger Stadium and talk about it.
I can't stand when I go to Nats games and I see that fan wearing a Red Sox hat or a Yankee hat. It makes zero sense
to
me.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Support one of the teams that you're seeing. I mean, does
so
really
I will tell you, when I lived in New York, my brother came and visited. And we went to a Yankees-Rays game.
Yeah.
And he wore his Brian Roberts Orioles jersey.
Yeah.
And we were going down
Which makes
escalator.
Sense now.
Right. We were going down an escalator, and somebody went by and just looked at him and went, Orioles? Like, if this was back in – I mean, I lived there like 04 to 07, so the Orioles were terrible.
Right.
The Rays were terrible at the time too. But a guy was like – not like, why are you wearing them, but like, oh my God, there's an Orioles fan in the stadium. Like,
right.
That's how rare it was at the time. It was a great reaction. It was just like, what? I don't even understand. So, yeah, my brother was a culprit of doing that, but he was young at the time. He was still, you
that's
know,
okay.
College age.
Yeah.
But I totally agree with you.
Yeah,
you
as an wear, adult male.
You wear a hat of one of the teams or something right. of one of the teams. If it's even if it's a team that you're only rooting for to root against the other one.
Exactly.
Or don't wear something.
Enjoy the experience of being in another person's park. And it's more fun to root for that, for a team there.
Speaking of being in another person's park, can I just tell you what annoys me almost more than anything else about going to a game? about other people.
Please tell me, because I think I know what you're going to say.
When you go to an away park as a Nats fan,
right?
If the Nats, let's say the Nats are playing, I don't know, random team that doesn't matter to the Nats. Let's say the Nats are playing in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a crazy crowd, so let's not even say Boston. Let's say you're in Dallas and you go to a Rangers-Nats game, an interleague game.
Right.
Where nobody really cares about the other team. Except for like 70-year-olds who are mad that the Rangers used to be the Senators.
Right.
I'm probably pissing people off. It's probably like 45-year-olds. But anyway, if you go there and like, let's say somebody hits the ball for the Rangers kind of hard into the outfield and it curves a little bit and like Ryan Zimmerman has to take like an extra fast step and reaches out and grabs it and you go, that's a nice play.
Right.
And you clap a little bit.
Okay.
That's fine.
I agree.
What you don't need to do is act like Ryan Zimmerman just hit a three-run home run doing that.
And won the World Series.
Right. And there's nothing that annoys me more than a visiting fan having to, like, try and out loud you at Nats Park on a crap play that doesn't matter. Like, hey, two outs in the third and we're down by five and we just hit a single. I'm going to pretend like that was a two-run home run to bring us within three, you know?
Right. And I think there's no other team out there like the Nats because we have so many people that are here from so many other places because of work or whatever, and that's why.
I think even, you know, even when they were really good, when I was in New York, the Yankees, there was a lot of visiting fans. I think because a little different reason, though, I think Yankee Stadium is a bit of a destination, right? People want to go to Yankees, or at least old Yankee Stadium when I was there. I don't know anymore.
But they've had fan base for years. So.
Yeah, and so, yeah, you're right. Here we don't have the established fan base. And there are plenty of people from other parts.
I think it gets more and more every year.
I do too, and I think the fans get more and more educated every year on what matters, what, you know, when they first started playing, any fly ball was like the entire crowd reacted like it was a home run. I mean, you go to any stadium anywhere, you hear people do like the "huh?" when it's a pop up.
Right.
But you don't. It's definitely different now in Nats Park than it used to be, where it was like everybody thought it was a home run, and now people are like, no, as soon as the ball gets hit in the air, I watch the outfielder.
Right.
So, I mean, I've noticed is just I think we've all, including myself and you, have become smarter baseball fans.
Exactly. I agree.
Team here.
Yeah.
But I just had to get that off my chest because the last game I went to a game with my dad and my brother like 2 weeks ago, or last Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lady sitting behind us who was just screaming every time the Rockies did anything.
A Rocky fan, too.
Look, I mean,
oh my God.
We are definitely fans of a team that people think have no fans, which is ridiculous to me. They you know, sell out, not sell out, but they do better at drawing fans than most teams do now in the Nats. But anyway, yeah. The game was ridiculous, too. It was like, you know, the Nats scored three in the first inning.
Oh, that we were beating the heck out of them all the whole series. It was like 8-2, 7-3.
And then they scored four in the fourth. Right. And this couple behind me was just screaming at, like, Justin Morneau's single with nobody on. And I'm just like, guys, relax. You know, you're allowed to cheer for your team, but you don't have to act like it was, you know. It's like overacting for the sake of people. Look at me, I'm a Rockies fan, and I don't blame the Rock. You know, it's not because they were Rockies fans. It's you see this, you see visiting fans do this, and I'm just like, what are you doing?
Right.
So anyway, thank you for letting me get that.
No, bro, I understand. But guys, if you want to hear more of or read more about the Nats or check out the amazing beer, the Nationals Park Beer Guide, go to thenationalsreview.com because that is where you need to be. There you can find out today's weather at the park for the game. There's the Twitter of Nationals Review right there. You can get all the old episodes of the podcast. So go to thenationalsreview.com or you can follow me on Twitter at Culmination.
You can follow me at Nationals Review.
And you can
email me to send me an email. I'd love to talk about the Nats or anything else.
Yeah.
Nationals review.
We love interaction. So please tweet us. We want to be tweeted and talk about baseball.
I do my best to answer anybody that
you do
me legitimate questions.
Right. And then we're subscribed to the show on iTunes. Just search the National Review.
Go on iTunes and subscribe, even if you don't want to listen.
Even if you don't want to listen, if you're in the Apple Store, open up iTunes and subscribe there.
If you're listening right now and you have the Apple Store open or you have your computer open, just go and subscribe.
Yeah, do it. I think it's a great idea. But I think that's it. And we really appreciate you all listening. And if you have any questions or comments, contact us. So, for everyone here at thenationalsreview.com, have a great night, day, week, and we'll see you at the park.
See you at the park.
Say